Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome again to Patriots 4th and 2. I am your host, Russ Goldman. From Pat's Confidential, I have with me, as always, Damian Jarrett and Steve Balestrieri. If I say that name wrong again, I'm going to hit myself. Sorry about that, Steve. And we are all PatsFans.com bloggers. We are here for the next hour to break down the upcoming match. I've got soccer on the brain. The upcoming game with the Cowboys. Certainly much to discuss. And the first thing we're going to go through, Damian Jarrett has some team news, and I'm going to hand it over to him to tell you the latest that is going on with the Patriots. Damian, it's your show right now.
Hey, guys. First of all, Marcus Harrison was signed earlier in the week, and Philip Adams was released. He's a defensive tackle who played his first couple of years at Chicago, was picked up by the Panthers and waived pretty soon after. Mayo trained this week. I don't think we're going to see him this weekend, but you know that's showing huge signs of improvement with the bye week coming up. You know he should be ready to go after that. Wright placed on injured reserve with his second concussion this year. Josh Barrett is so far the lone player declared out for Sunday's game with his thumb injury. He did not participate in practice all week. And we had a bit of trash talking going on. Dallas Cowboys center Phil Koster said Vince Wilfork was more of a speed bump than a mountain. And Wilfork replied to that pretty lamely. He didn't respond. He just said, "I'll see him on the field Sunday. You can tell me then." And for all you fans interested in Ocho Cinco, he's offering a $20,000 prize for his 3 millionth follower. So I can see quite a few people unfollowing him and trying to follow him in the coming days. So, but that's pretty much sort of the general news going on at the moment.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Damian. The one thing that jumped out to me were the comments by Costa to Wilfork. I'm sorry, is this guy stupid? Have players not learned that they shouldn't be talking trash before a game with the Patriots? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. For years, this has been going on, and someone still does this. And I have a feeling it just gives motivation more to Vince Wilfork and Fat Albert in the middle to really do a number on this guy. I feel bad for him because that offensive line is young, and it's still learning, and they could get a lesson with Vince Wilfork and Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, something to take into consideration as well is if anyone actually watched the Cowboys in their Redskins matchup, Costa had a lot of bad snaps, and you could actually see Tony Romo berating him on the sideline. And basically, I think the commentator said he pretty much said, if you give me one more bad snap, I'm going to kill you, in obviously a lot harsher terms. So he's part of an offensive line that while they're doing good in pass doing okay in pass protection, they're pretty low down in terms of run blocking. So they're not by all means a fully clicking unit yet. And to sit there and start trash talking a Pro Bowl defensive tackle, you know, it's not a very wise move.
No, I agree with you, Steve. Do you have any comments on what Costa said?
Be careful what you ask for, because that's an awfully big speed bump, you know. I wouldn't want to be on the bad side of Wilfork across the line during a game. I think that was just a youth and inexperience speaking out, and I'm sure he was chastised for it in the locker room. I did find it interesting that they signed a defensive lineman since Mike Wright went on IR, but I do think that that's going to be strictly a temporary thing. I think they will either activate Dederick or Brace off the pup list here soon, and they're going to have to make a decision on who's going to stay and who's going.
Yeah, it's very interesting. That's a very interesting decision to come up. Just to let everyone know, the phone number to reach us is 347-215-7276. I actually did see someone that called in. I was about to put them on, and unfortunately, I did not get it to them quickly enough, and I apologize for that. If you'd like to call back in, I will get you right back on the line. I feel bad about that, but we wanted to go through the team news first and get that going. Guys, first order of business, let's go through the matchups of this game. And, Steve, you had a very interesting article, as you always do, breaking down the Patriots-Cowboys key matchups. I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'll have Damian and myself comment, okay?
Go right ahead.
Let's start with the Patriots running game. You mentioned Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and how well he's been running lately. The key matchup you have in this and in the running game is actually going to be Dan Connolly on Jay Ratliff. And is that more in the running game, or will that also be in the passing game? I'm curious.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit of both. But, I mean, in the running game, the reason Dallas is only giving up about 60 yards per game and only 3.1, which is fantastic, per carry. And it all starts with Ratliff in the middle. Ratliff is one of those really big athletic nose tackles who eats up blocks, basically immovable, and then he allows the inside linebackers like Brady James to clean up. And if you can allow your inside linebackers free release into the backfield there, then you're going to have success at stopping the run. And that's what Ratliff does. And he's very, very good. And that'll be a key matchup for the Patriots because I think they want to attack the middle. Dallas is much too fast and athletic to get those long stretch plays going. I think they're going to have to use those quick hitter and running play, and I think they're going to try to do it either in the middle or off. They might go off tackle, but it's going to have to be really fast.
You know, that's a very interesting analysis of the situation with the running game. Damian, what are your thoughts on the Dallas defense against the Patriots' run offense?
Well, they definitely have the advantage. We've been quite solid in the running game. I think we are ranked in the top 10 in terms of rushing this year. But that's certainly going to be an area I think we really need to address early. I think we need to come out running the ball and trying to run it, because if you sit there and give up on just because they're the first ranked rush defense in the NFL, you can't just give up on the run and say we're going to air it out here. They need to stick with the run and keep trying to run on first down specifically, because you've got to make them respect that and you've got to test it. You know, with our offensive line is playing particularly well this year. They're one of the top in the league again. So, you know, it's an interesting matchup and one that you've got to watch. And I think we need to try and come out and run early. And, you know, if it fails, but you've got to keep at it and try and push with it. And, I think we can have a little bit of success against their D-line, because I think we have the O-line to do it. But, you know, it's definitely going to be a tough day. And if Green Ellis can't play, he's listed as questionable for this game. It's going to be an extremely big test for Stephen Ridley, who, you know, we've seen him come out with a good game, not 100% sure on what he can do yet. So, you know, we've got to watch as well for whether Green Ellis is available and how many carries he gets, because that's going to be a big factor, I think, his experience.
Well, I have a follow-up for both of you on this. A few years back, I believe it was 2006, when the Patriots were going up against the Minnesota Vikings, you might remember this game, they basically decided we're not going to run because it was going to be useless. Steve, could this be a situation where it might be useless to run and you might just want to just spread them out?
No. I don't see that happening. The Patriots' run game in 06 was struggling at the time, and at that time Minnesota was – I remember that game very well. Minnesota was really big and basically unmovable along the defensive line and dared the Patriots to run it. So Tom Brady just said, no, we won't run it at all. And I don't think they – I think maybe they ran it – 6 or 7 times for the entire game, and he just spread them out and picked them to death. But I don't see that happening, not with this team, not the way it's constructed, and it's not with their offensive philosophy. I foresee them trying to run the ball and trying to mix it up, and I think they have to. They have to be successful against this team.
Listen, you're probably right. I just wanted to throw it out there just because I remember that game and just thinking, well, you know what? if it's not going to work, why try? But I think like you mentioned, the Patriots' offense is very different. And I think that they can establish the run. We'll at least try. And I think that could pay dividends. Damien, what are your thoughts about me throwing that out there? Steve obviously thinks I'm wrong. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Steve. I'm not a fan of abandoning the run. I think you need, like I say, even if it's failing, you're not getting many yards, you have to stick with it because you've got to force teams to respect it. If you're just coming out and just passing, teams are just going to sit there and say, well, we're just going to stick all our defensive backs out. We're not going to worry about the run. And it makes you one-dimensional. And that's kind of what happened against Buffalo. I think we gave up a little on the run. And I think we passed it too much with Tom Brady, and then we saw what happened. And because we didn't get the run game going as early as we would have wanted to, and we went away from it. But I think you need to stay with it, force them to respect it, and that will help your passing game in the same way, because they're respecting the run, you're keeping them guessing, and you're being two dimensional rather than one dimensional.
You know what? You guys are right, and I'm definitely wrong on this one. You know, that's why I enjoy talking to you guys about this. But to be honest with you, I just thought about it for 2 seconds, but when you really think about it, the Patriots' offense really is more dangerous when they can be a little bit balanced. It doesn't have to be completely balanced. And even though it might be tough sledding, I do agree with you guys. I think it's worth doing. So, but, I mean, are we both in agreement that we would have to give the advantage to the Cowboys in this key matchup? First, I'll go to Steve. Damien, you already said Steve.
I would think Dallas has an advantage there because obviously they've been doing such a good job of it. But that doesn't necessarily mean the Patriots can be successful doing it. And the thing that makes the Patriots' offense so dangerous is you have so many weapons on this team, you can spread them out and still run the ball effectively because you have the tight ends that can come in and block. And, Dallas has done a great job, and they deserve their ranking, but they haven't played anyone that has the offense and balance that the Patriots have. So, therefore, it's going to come down to who executes.
No, I agree with you on that. So, I guess we're all in agreement that the Cowboys have the advantage there, but there is an opportunity for the Patriots to run, and as long as they attempt to run, that could pay dividends. Let's go to the Patriots passing game. Now, this is a situation where I'm a little scared of, just because of the Rob Ryan defense. And you actually mentioned that, Steve. You talk a little bit about the Rob Ryan defense in the Cleveland game. The key matchup that you single out, there are a few of them, and I want you to comment about Orlando Scandrick covering Wes Welker. Who has the advantage there?
Well, Scandrick is very good. But right now, I mean, I don't care who you are, right now, Wes Welker is playing amongst the top wide receivers in the league right now. And I think that, you know, the best thing to do with Welker is you try to chip him at the line, and he is the Patriots' go-to guy, obviously. I mean, he's caught so many passes this year. So, you know, if I'm the Cowboys, what I want to do is I want to chip him at the line with Scandrick and have over-the-top help with a safety. And if you take Tom Brady's favorite receiver away, and we'll get to it later, I said the same thing with Romo and Jason Witten, then you take away his first read, and that's what the Cowboys want to do. If they take away Brady's first read and his favorite receiver, then he's forced to look elsewhere, and he's forced to hold on to the ball, and that gives their pass rush time to get to him and disrupt the game.
Damien, what are your thoughts of that matchup?
He's one of the best receivers in the game at the moment, and I think he's going to cause anyone problems that he comes up against. But I'd like to, talking of Welker, I'd like to draw something I actually saw on Playbook, on NFL.com, in fact. And like, Rob Ryan showed his hand against the Patriots in Cleveland, and he showed them something they hadn't seen before, and it thoroughly confuses them. But they've actually, he showed something that they've done so far this season that's kind of countered that, and the way they motion Welker inside and tight to the line, and what they've done this year is they've brought Welker in and they've forced him to be matched up against players that the opposition doesn't want to match him up with, like linebackers. And so, you know, I think that's what the Patriots are going to aim to do. I think they're going to aim with the way they motion Welker about at the moment into the backfield and tight to the line. They're going to try and get a matchup that they don't want. And that's basically what our offense is about at the moment. But if it comes down to one-on-one, man-on-man, like I think Welker at the moment, I think he wins every time, unless you're putting him up against someone like Revis. And you know, I'm fully confident that we could still go to Welker and he'll still be able to get open.
You know what, Damien, I really agree with you on that point, because it is all about matchups. It's finding the situations that best fit the Patriots that they can take advantage of. And I can see that happening in this game, that they take advantage of this player and get him in a situation, like you said, closer in motion that would put him in a favorable position. But I want to mention two players that I think will have a huge significant impact in the passing game, and those have to be the tight ends, Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski, because I believe that the corners will do a great job on, say, Ocho Cinco and Branch, take them out of the game, and that doesn't bother me, because I don't see who is going to match up down the middle of the field between Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski, Steve. How are they going to handle those two?
Well, that was what my other key matchup was, Russ, and I spoke about that. Is I think their corners, now that they're healthy, they have two very, very good corners in Newman and Jenkins. But if the Cowboys' secondary has a weakness, it's the inconsistent play of their safeties. And if I'm the Patriots, that's where I want to attack, is right down the middle, and they have two very good options in doing that with Gronkowski and Hernandez, because if they get matched up, I think basically Gronkowski can't be covered by anybody at this point. He has just great size, and Hernandez is basically a wide receiver with a tight end's body, and that's where you want to attack, is the middle of that defense, and of course that's what Rob Ryan is going to try to protect. But I think that if they do take Welker away, that's going to open up something over the top to Gronkowski or Hernandez. And that's what I'm looking from the Patriots.
Damien, what are your thoughts about that matchup with the tight ends on the safeties of Dallas?
I think that, like, when it comes to our receivers against the secondary, I think we win hands down in that matchup. I mean, as Steve said, the safety play for Dallas hasn't been great. They've been injured throughout their secondary so far this season, and it's something we want to take advantage of. We do, you know, I think it's something we have the edge there, and Bill Belichick's going to use that. I mean, the tight ends are an integral part of our game plan anyway, so, you know, they're all, but I think, you know, like as Steve said, Gronkowski at the moment is uncoverable, and if they're going to focus on Welker at the moment, and on an offense where we have as many weapons as we do, you can just kind of say, right, well, we're just going to move on to Branch, or we're going to move on to Hernandez and Gronkowski or Woodhead, and we just make someone else a focal point of the offense. And that's kind of what Bill Belichick does. He gets the best out of all his players. And if they want to take Welker away, when they can go right ahead. But I think Bill Belichick and all the Patriots fans have the confidence that we can just move along to another player and he can have a big game for us. I think we have faith in every single one of our players right now.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That's why I think that I agree with you on the fact that overall in the passing game, I think the Patriots really have the advantage. I would say that the counter to that could be the fact that they have DeMarcus Ware and Spencer coming at Tom Brady. That's obviously the equalizer here. And the offensive line will be extremely tested, and I actually have that in my five keys, which will go in a little while. But that's something to watch very carefully, because DeMarcus Ware is like no other player that the Patriots have played so far. And we're talking about it could be the Patriots' advantage, but he could change that in one or two plays. And that's what frightens me about our offensive line. Not that I don't have faith in him, but that guy is that good. So, but overall, guys, who has the advantage, Steve?
I think the Patriots still have the advantage in the passing game because, they have so many weapons to choose from. Now, they're going to have to be aware of, not only aware, but Anthony Spencer at all times because, teams tend to focus on DeMarcus Ware, and Spencer, gets a free shot on occasion. But it's something the Patriots have faced in the past. They've done it against Pittsburgh. They've done it against other teams. And it's something they're going to have to be aware of, obviously. But it's not something that's impossible. And with so many weapons at their disposal, if they just need to give Brady time to step up and hit the open receiver. And I think they will against this team. I think there's going to be opportunities to make plays down the field.
Damian, what do you think? Who has the advantage?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots clearly have the advantage in this one. And I agree with what you said about DeMarcus Ware. I think he sort of narrows it down a little bit more. And he's one of those players that no matter how much you game plan against, he's just that athletically and football gifted that he's gonna make a play that just makes you say wow. You know what I mean? So he's gonna do something. He's gonna have an effect. He's gonna get to Brady. I have no doubt about that. But I think, Dan Gronkowski's back as well, so we're going to see a lot of free tight end sets again, I think, and we're going to see a lot of the Gronkowski brothers staying back and helping out if they have to. So, that's going to – DeMarcus Ware is the game plan, effectively, for the offense. They've got to contain him and make sure he can't get through to Tom Brady. And I think they're going to do a good job, but he's going to make plays, whether we like it or not, I think.
Yeah, and the way to neutralize him is basically just limit it. I mean, yeah. He is, like you said, Damian, you couldn't say it better. He is going to make plays. There's no question about that. It's just making sure that he doesn't make too many and making sure that Tom Brady is still upright. That's the most important thing of every game, making sure that if he gets hit, that Tom Brady is getting back up and limit those hits. Okay, so we're all in agreement on that, but let's move to the other side of the ball because I'm very interested on your breakdown on both of these parts, Steve. Cowboys running game, basically, based on what I read, you think it's a little inconsistent. I tend to agree with that. With Felix Jones and their inconsistent offensive line. Talk a little bit about the Cowboys running game.
Well, I think Felix Jones is very, very good. I think that if the struggles they've had running the ball falls upon the offensive line. And I don't see that changing. I mean, I think that, granted, he's only a speed bump, but Vince Wilfork in the middle is among the best run stoppers anywhere. And now that Haynesworth seems to be getting healthy again, and we can throw in Gerard Warren and Kyle Love, I don't see them running very well. In fact, I thought last week Andre Carter had his best game as a member of the Patriots. At setting the edge in the running game, I thought the Jets, that was going to be an advantage of them, is stretching the Patriots out, and they didn't. I don't see the Cowboys running the ball very effectively this week. I think the Patriots are going to do a very good job of shutting them down. And I see Wilfork and Haynesworth as being the linchpins of that, even though, granted, he is only a speed bump, according to Dallas.
Yeah, that's a great comment. Damian, what are your thoughts about the Dallas running game and our ability to stop it?
I personally don't want to sound too overconfident, but I really don't think it's gonna be an issue. I think, like Steve said, we've got the guys up front who can do it. Andre Carter is proving to be, personally, from myself watching him over the last few games, one of the best 4-3 linemen against the run. He's been stout against it, and he's part of a Patriots defense that against the run is ranked, I think, sixth this year so far. So that we're doing a good job as a unit. I think we've got the bodies there. If Albert Ainsworth and Vince Wilfork can play alongside each other for as many snaps as possible, that's going to help us because, like, you know, like as you say, like, as Steve said, Vince Wilfork, maybe if he is a speed bump, he's a very big speed bump, and you can't really move him. And so he's going to cause problems. Hainsworth will cause problems. And we've got a lot of depth in that D-line now and a lot of people coming back and getting healthy. And, you know, I just don't – their O-line has just been too inconsistent with the run. I think it actually, against Washington, it took them against Washington to get a run of over 10 yards. So they didn't – I think for two or three solid games, they didn't even produce a run of over 10 yards. And so there's a real big issue with their offensive line in terms of run blocking, and they're far too inconsistent, and I think we have the personnel to exploit that.
I agree with you. The only concern that I have against the running game, and it showed in the Jets game, is Gary Guyton, because Gary Guyton needs to fill, and I saw him get blown off the ball on several occasions. That's the only thing that concerns me, is if it gets to another level, then they could get some yardage. But beyond that, I think the Patriots have a huge advantage in this matchup. But let's move on. And before we do, I just want to mention our phone number here. It's you can reach us at 347-215-7276. Please do give us a call. We want your thoughts on this game. Don't hesitate to give us a call. We want to talk to fans because we are fans. But before we get a call, or if we do get a call, let's go to the passing game, because this is the part that I'm most interested in, because it involves one of my favorite players to make fun of, and that's Tony Romo. Steve, I really believe that Tony Romo is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He could be one of the best quarterbacks in the game if he wanted to be. Unfortunately, he seems to make key mistakes in key crucial times. He has several weapons, and basically the matchup that you really nailed down, and I agree with you, is his ability to go to Jason Witten. It's Jason Witten against the Patriots' defense. Would you agree that in the passing game is the first thing that the Patriots need to stop?
Absolutely. Jason Witten, I mean, Tony Romo's been the quarterback for Dallas, I believe this is 5 years now. And since day one, Jason Witten has been his go-to guy, like Wes Welker is for Tom Brady. That's his first read. That's his hot read. That's his favorite receiver on crucial downs. So the Patriots are going to try to take him away. And I know a lot of fans are cringing because they were like, well, if they take Witten away, then they're going to throw to Dez Bryant and Miles Austin on the outside, which could be devastating, and it very well could be. But I think the Patriots' focus this week, they'll be taking away Witten and forcing Romo to go to his second and third reads on the outside. And I'll tell you why I think they're going to do that. It's because they did it with Dustin Keller last week, with Sanchez, and they did it with Antonio Gates. Now, granted, Gates was a little hobbled the San Diego game, but they did a fantastic job against both of them. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, Romo, I'm one of Romo's biggest supporters. I like Tony Romo, but I know that he is Mattingly inconsistent at times with his mistakes, and I think that's what the Patriots are going to be looking to. It. I mean, when it comes down to crunch time, if you take away his favorite receiver and force him to look for a second and third read, that's when Tony Romo makes mistakes. And I think that's the Patriots' biggest focus this week, is try to take away Jason Witten. You know, you're not going to take him away completely, but you have to do a better job of shutting him down than the first four games of opponents have done against Dallas.
You know, he is definitely in my five keys, Steve, because I think it's imperative that they contain Jason Witten. Damian, if they do take away Witten, are you concerned about the wide receivers? Do you think that sets up the Patriots for a fall, even if they take away Witten? Or do you think that they would be in good shape as long as they took away Witten?
I think when you put a lot of focus on one player, that leaves somewhere in the field vulnerable, and it always is going to. And we saw it against San Diego. Everyone seemed to criticize the Patriots for not being able to contain Vincent Jackson as well, but we put so much focus on containing Antonio Gates is that you're going to leave somewhere else vulnerable, and very good QBs are going to take advantage of that and have success elsewhere. And no matter what people say about Romo, he's a very good QB, and on his day, he could, if he cut out his mistakes, he could be elite. You know, he really could. Elite gets thrown around too easily, but he could be up there in the top five if he cut out his mistakes, because he is that gifted of a player. I've said a lot this week. I expect Dez Bryant and Miles Austin to put up considerable yardage on us. I don't think we're going to contain Romo to under 300 yards. And he may push for 400, and I thoroughly expect that because of the QB that he is, and the fact that I haven't seen us really take away a top QB yet. And I'd love to see it, but realistically, I don't at the moment. And if they do it, then great. But we've got to focus on Witten. The tight ends are going to be the focus for both teams' defenses. I think you've got the two best all-round tight ends in the league playing in this game, and Witten's got to be our focus because he's Romo's favourite target, and he's his safety valve. And if you, like Steve said, if you take that away, then you force him to throw downfield, you're going to get some mistakes from him. But I think he's good enough to cause us issues with Dez Bryant, and Dez Bryant is a physical beast. He's very tall, he has great reach, and he's fast, and we struggle against those type of receivers. So I expect, it wouldn't surprise me if Dez Bryant got 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns.
You know what? I'm actually expecting that to happen, but I'm okay with that because I think sometimes you have to win the war. You got to lose some of the battles sometimes, and if they lose that battle, so be it. But I think if they are going over the top on a good amount of plays, that I think that also opens up the possibility of Mr. Romo making some mistakes. So if you take away that first read of going to Witten, like Steve was mentioning, make him go to his second, third reads, I could see Romo making a big mistake, and I'm actually counting on that. I think he's going to play a really good game, but I think he's going to make a mistake or two that it's really going to hurt the Cowboys. I actually talk about this in my keys. The one thing that I would do if I were the Patriots, I would play a 3-4, and I would have three down linemen, and I would drop everyone else back into coverage. And that, to me, would be just flood the lanes and make Romo make a mistake. That's what I would do. What are your thoughts about that, Steve?
Well, that could obviously be one of the things that they do this week is drop a lot of people, but I don't see that. I think they're going to rush the four down linemen. The one thing that if they extend the plays out and make Romo look for a second and third guy, the Patriots' inconsistent, I guess would be the politically correct word, pass rush will hopefully come into play there. Now, Mark Anderson has been the guy that's been their most consistent pass rusher. And against Dallas's offensive line, which isn't one of the greatest, we may see that come into play. And hopefully they'll be able to extend some of the plays out long enough where they can get some kind of pass rush on Romo and force a mistake. But I think he's going to throw for 300 yards. I do. And I think that you're going to see a lot of action on the outside. But I think in the long run, the best bet for the Patriots is to take away Jason Witten in the middle.
You know, I agree with you. Before we get off of these matchups, let me get a prediction of this key matchup. Who has the advantage there, Steve? Is it the Dallas passing game or the Patriots defense?
Dallas passing game.
Damian, same thing?
Easily the Dallas passing game. I think I'd like to talk about something that Steve just mentioned, and that's their O-line. While their O-line has been criticised for being inconsistent, they're one of the top O-lines in terms of pass protection. I think Tony Romo has been hit as many times as Tom Brady, so they're on par with us there. And they're ranked only just below us in terms of sacks allowed. They haven't conceded many sacks or QB hits. And one of my key matchups to watch is not Anderson on the left defensive end side. It's Andre Carter against Doug Free, because I've watched Doug Free closely over. I've been watching on NFL Game Pass every single one of Dallas's games so far this season, and Doug Free is their most inconsistent defensive lineman. He's a playing left tackle. He looks like he's more suited to right tackle. He doesn't look like he's very comfortable against speed rushers and aggressive rushers. And if you test him and get round onto his outside shoulder, he struggles to stop you. And I think that's going to be the key. I do agree we need to drop people back in coverage. I'd like to see the Patriots play a lot of sub packages, 3-3-5, which they have done so far this year. And like I say, play a lot of zone and take away those passing lanes. But I think the key matchup on the defensive line is going to be Andre Carter rushing on that right defensive end side against Doug Free.
That's very interesting. I will be watching that now that you brought that up, Damien. I have not really watched that player, so now I certainly will be focusing on him and Carter during the game. Okay, so now we went through the matchups. I just want to switch us over a little bit to my five questions that I did with Todd Archer of ESPNDallas.com. I always like to get the opposing view of matchups. I always find them interesting. So I asked him five questions, and I'm just gonna read part of each one to you and have you guys respond. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go. The first question I asked Mr. Archer was this: quarterback Tony Romo certainly has shown the ability to become an elite quarterback. However, his decision-making in crucial situations has been an issue this season and in his career. Why do you think he continues to make bad decisions that have caused some losses? Mr. Archer's response was this: the perception of Romo is not actually reality. Among active quarterbacks, his fourth quarter numbers are the best, or at least in the top five, since he's been a starter. He has made some bad decisions, but he's also made a lot of good decisions. To his critics, the only big games he's ever had are the ones he's lost. But he beat an undefeated Indianapolis team. He's beaten Philadelphia. He's won at New York. When he flops, he does it in spectacular fashion, which is why he carries this perception. He has to understand that taking a sack or throwing away is a good play. I don't want to say he's still learning because he started so many games, but just about every quarterback has these issues. See Brady versus Buffalo. Steve, what do you think about Mr. Archer's comments about Romo?
Well, I told you, I'm a Romo supporter. So, I don't think Romo is the choke artist that he's portrayed a lot in the mainstream media. However, you know, he has had meltdowns. And if you look at the Cowboys' two losses this year, they were up both of those games with a pretty good lead against the Jets and a huge lead against the Lions. And you have to look at Romo meltdowns. I mean, he made horrible decisions. And after 5 years as their starting quarterback, I mean, basically he is who he is. He's going to play brilliantly at times, and he can be. Romo can get on a roll and tear anybody apart. But he also is maddeningly inconsistent at times. And, you know, that's the guy that the Patriots are going to be looking to influence. I mean, they're going to try to do something to make him make that key mistake. And basically, if this game comes down to the line, I would rather have Tom Brady on my side than Tony Romo. That's not an indictment of Romo. It's just I prefer Brady than Romo to not make a bad mistake at crunch time.
No, I agree with you. And when I got the answer back, all I could think of is that's a homer answer. Nothing against Mr. Archer. I think he's covering up, because I really believe the perception is reality. And I do have much respect for Tony Romo, but I think he does make key mistakes in very big situations. And I'm sorry, I can't make him an elite quarterback until he corrects that. Damien, I'm gonna have this one for you, okay? New defensive coordinator Rob Ryan did a real good job against Tom Brady last season when he was with the Cleveland Browns. What kind of factor do you feel his knowledge of knowing how to stop Brady will ultimately have on this game? Mr. Archer's response: I think it'll help, and I think it'll help that he has better personnel than he had in Cleveland. But the Patriots will be ready for what Ryan has in store for them. So for Ryan, he for Ryan has been generic for him in terms of the looks he has given, and some of that is because of who he has playing for him. He doesn't need to show all these looks. He'll be helped now that he has his top three corners available for the first time this year with Skandrick back from ankle surgery. I don't believe the Browns sacked Brady last year, but they did pressure him, and the offense held the ball for 38 minutes. So that made Ryan look good too. What are your thoughts about those comments?
I agree to it. I pretty much agree with what you said. When you play a team, you kind of show, especially once you've played them once, you've kind of showed your hand as a defensive coordinator, and that's what Rob Ryan did in Cleveland. He's not going to be able to do the same against us this weekend, I don't think, because Bill Belichick will have prepared for that. And I want to take the Patriots and Jets as an example. You kind of see the Jets swapping fixtures, like it's a Patriots win, it's a Jets win, it's a Patriots win. And the kind of reason for that is like you say, they're adapting every time. Rex showed his hand in the defense, the Patriots counted back the next game, and Rex had no answer for the Patriots offense. And then the Patriots offense has shown their hand, and Rex Ryan comes out with a completely new look defense and confuses the Patriots once again, and then the ball's in their court the next time it comes. And that's where we're at. The ball's in our court. I don't think Rob Ryan can do anything to confuse us at the moment. He can try new things, but he hasn't really got anything. He hasn't got a lot of new stuff to go on. He's seen what we've done the last few games, but I thoroughly feel that he's going to try and implement a lot of stuff that made him successful at Cleveland against us, and I do feel that the Patriots are going to be able to counter that productively. But I think something that he said at the end of his question there is. The Cleveland offense held the ball for so long, and our defense really didn't show up that game, and they really won the time of possession battle. And more often than not, if you win time of possession, unless you make idiotic mistakes, you're going to win the game. Because that's going to be key. Our defense really needs to show up and help the offense out this time around.
No, I agree with you on that. The only thing that scares me about Rob Ryan is something that he showed in the Jets game, and Steve and I talked about this off air, is when he has his players not really really moving around and not really showing where they're coming from. When he does that type of defense, it gives our offensive line a hard time figuring out where the rush is. And that's the only thing that concerns. I think we're going to see that again. And I hope Tom Brady can counteract that with maybe some quick passes that Steve, you were mentioning about, and basically get them out of that, maybe change the pace a little bit. I don't think he'll be as big a factor as maybe I originally thought. Steve, I'm sorry, did you have something to say?
Yeah, they showed that look last year, and the Patriots were not prepared for it, and it totally destroyed the blocking schemes. And then they played the same thing against the Jets the opening week, and it did the same thing. It totally messed up the Jets' blocking schemes. It didn't show them where the blitz was coming from. I think the way to combat that was to be not to let them move around, not to let them wander around. I think the Patriots used that against the Bills a few years ago. They call it their organized chaos defense, but The way to combat that, I believe, is to just come right up and snap the ball immediately, and maybe a direct snap to Ben Jarvis Greenella. And while they're still up and moving around, if you put a hat on them and they're standing upright, I think you can drive them off the ball and run the ball effectively. And that just may be it, although I expect them to try some other different things as well. But I think this time they may be ready for that if they try to run that defense.
I think so, too. I think Belichick is going to be prepared for it. That's why the more I think about it, the more I'm not as concerned as I was maybe in the beginning of the week, because I just remember that Cleveland game, Steve, how much they struggled.
Right, and I think the Dallas writer made a very valid comment about that. One of the things was that Cleveland ran the ball down the Patriots' throat last year. Peyton Hillis, I think he just ate them up and I think he said that they ran the ball for 35 or 38 minutes, and I remember that as well, and that totally discombobulated the Patriots last year.
No, I agree with you, and that's something that I don't see we're going to see this time. You know, that control, and it's funny that Todd mentions that, because I really forget about how much the Browns controlled that game, and that might have masked, you know, some of these issues that the Patriots had against Cleveland, because they really, you know, it might have made, you know, as he described, it might have made Cleveland's defense look better than it really was. But let's move on again. This one's for you, Steve, and this is right up our alley because we've already talked about it. Do you think Jason Witten will be the player on the Dallas offense that the Patriots need to take away? His response, absolutely. If you go back to 07, Belichick's main target was Witten, not Terrell Owens. Witten had 3 catches in that game. Look at the San Diego game this year when the Patriots beat up on Antonio Gates. Witten is more than a security blanket for Romo. He's the key figure in the passing game because he opens things up on the outside. Steve, I think that's the key to this whole game. Honestly, stopping Jason Witten. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and we already touched on that. And we have a caller. I think that's show one is calling in, I believe. Why don't we get his take on this?
Okay. Steve, I've actually have issues right now getting back online. If you could click on him, we can get him on the line. And I'll put control over to you. Click on that little microphone, and that should get him online with us.
Hello, you're on the air.
Russ. How are you, Steve? How are you? This is Show underscore one.
Hey, Show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Just would have called in a little sooner. I was having technical problems as well. So it's like this is like a technical problem Saturday or something. But I'll tell you this game. It does concern me a little bit, and I'll tell you why. And I was listening while I was waiting for you guys to connect me to some of your comments. I agree that Jason Witten controlling him is a very big part of the game. A lot of time when the Patriots encounter problems on defense, the tight ends is one of the reasons why sometimes they can't get off the field on third down or drives will continue. Definitely controlling Witten will be an issue. The other thing is, will they be able to put pressure on Tony Romo? As with any other NFL quarterback, if you don't get pressure on them and you allow them to sit back there, most NFL quarterbacks can pick you apart. And the Dallas does have some wide receivers. I'm not sure how effective. I'm assuming that Dez Bryant will play tomorrow. Miles Austin, I'm unsure of his health, if he will play tomorrow. But if both of those wide receivers are playing, they present problems for the Patriots secondary, whether or not they get a pass rush. So, you know, then you will look at who will McCourty cover. And I'm switching around because McCourty, unfortunately, this year hasn't been as effective as last year. But I look at fact that McCourty is also covering the team's number one receiver more this year than he did last year, and the fact that it is a newly implemented 4-3 look that's coming in, so that probably has something to do with it as well. There was no training camp, so he's learning on the fly too, so I'm going to give it a few more games just to see where he is at. I'm hoping that Rozai Dowling will be able to play because he brings a physical presence back there. As if you look at the Miami game earlier in the year, particularly down by the goal line when there was a couple passes to Brandon Marshall, Dowling, because he's a big cornerback, was able to kind of body up with Marshall and not allow Marshall to catch the ball so that the Patriots were able to, you know, take over and go down the field and score. So I'm looking at little things like that. Then the other thing is what you're talking about as far as Tom Brady and the Patriots offensive line against Rob Ryan's defense, the thing that was ran last year in Cleveland. We all saw what happened. It wasn't a very pretty sight. One of the things that I can say that Ryan will definitely try to do, as any other team is trying to get pressure on Brady. Key thing is, where would that pressure come from? DeMarcus Ware, I can guarantee you, they're going to move DeMarcus Ware all around that field so that, you know, they know that Brady will be looking at him, but they're going to move him around so that Brady will have no idea where he's coming from. Then they're going to try to sneak somebody from either the outside or have more sustained pressure up the middle. There's a belief that, you know, they can probably get some pressure up the middle on Brady, which will make his life more troublesome. So we'll see how the offensive line holds up. I think that the Patriots using the tight ends this year the way they have been. Last week with Gronkowski being more of a blocker than a receiver, I think that's going to really help him pay dividends, especially if Fernandez comes back the way he did last week and can really play. Because you can release him or you can release Gronk when they're not expecting it and do some things. What are your guys' thoughts on any of that?
Steve, would you like to take that?
I'll start first. Yeah, I agree with the show. And, you know, the most effective pass rush against Tom Brady isn't from the outside. It's right up the middle. And teams that have brought pressure right up the middle have been most effective at shutting Brady down because he is so adept at stepping up in the pocket when he senses pressure from the outside and stepping up and making the throws. If you take that away and force him to run outside, Brady's not very mobile. And that's one of the things they may have to look at. That may be what Rob Ryan is planning on doing. And I agree that the Jason Witten is the guy to stop. I mean, I think you have to take Jason Witten away, and then hopefully your corners can do something. Yeah, Show made a great point on Rozai Dowling. I mean, he is one of the biggest corners the Patriots have, and he's, you know, one of the more physical guys, and they're going to need him. I think they're going to put him on Dez Bryant, since Bryant is such a big guy, and then McCourty's going to have to step up against Miles Austin.
Steve, you really think that they're going to switch that? I really thought that they would have McCourty on Dez Bryant, but you really see because of the height that they would put Dowling there?
I think so. I think they're going to put McCourty on Miles Austin, and That's what I've foreseen. I mean, I could be completely wrong on that, but I see McCourty on Austin this week.
Let me ask you guys a question. Last week we all saw how effective the Patriots' running game was against the Jets. How much of another week of a balanced attack do you think that Bill O'Brien will implement in this week's game plan? Because, you know, just watching Bill O'Brien spiral, I know he's itching to throw it up 40, 50 times a game. And I'm just wondering if after the first couple of series, if the running game doesn't really get any net yards, will he just revert back to, hey, we're just going to start chucking it down the field? Because that's one thing that concerns me about Bill O'Brien is you know, sometimes his game plans are good. I won't take that away from him. However, his ability to adapt to in-game conditions, to have an in-game change of plans, adjusting his game plan on the fly, I think that sometimes that has actually really hurt the Patriots in their efforts. So what do you guys think about the running game? And if it's not working, will he just abandon it immediately?
You know what? I definitely don't think that they should abandon it immediately. Steve and I were talking about this. He actually seriously convinced me that this is something that they need to do. They need to establish some kind of running game. Whether they get 1 yard in a cloud of dust, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, I think it's imperative that they do that because I think that will open up everything. We've seen how effective they are when they are balanced. I think they're almost unstoppable when they can do this. Because I don't think Dallas can counteract everything that the Patriots bring if you add a running game to it. So I agree with you. I hope that they don't abandon it because I think whether they get small yardage or large yardage, I think it will make a difference in the game. It should definitely open up play action, And that's where I think Brady's going to kill them with the tight end. Steve, Damien, do either one of you? I'm sorry, Damien, I really haven't gone to you lately. Do you have anything to add to that?
On everything he said, really, I just want to slightly backtrack a tiny bit and talk about. He mentioned the D line and the defensive backs, and I kind of want to tie that in. Very often, if the D line isn't performing, your secondary isn't going to perform. And I've said that a lot. A lot of the secondary's got a lot of slack, but I think it lies more with the fact the D line hasn't got pressure. The D line makes the secondary look good, and in the vast majority of cases, and it's what makes top cornerbacks so successful. They very often had good pass rushes behind them, and so we need to get to Romo and force him to make bad throws, or he is going to pass all over us in this game, and that's the main key. And on something Steve said on Razai Dowling, if he's fit, he should definitely be on Dez Bryant. I totally agree with that. I was very impressed with how he matched up on Marshall in the first game, and I really think he could be an extremely great pickup for us if he can stay healthy. And I think he's more physical than McCourty, and I think he'll match up better against Dez Bryant than McCourty will, and I think he'd do better to go against Miles Austin personally.
Interesting. Steve, do you have anything you want to add to this?
I firmly agree with one of the other things that Sho mentioned, and this is something Sho and I talked about on Twitter on more than one occasion. Bill O'Brien, if he has a knock on him, as far as I'm concerned, it's his in-game adjustments when people shut down the Patriots. And I thought he did a great job last week with the Jets with his in-game adjustments. I thought that he did a very, very good job on that, but that's one of the things that when people shut down the Patriots, O'Brien hasn't been good at finding an in-game solution. And he'll have to be on top of his game again this week, because I think Rob Ryan is going to throw some wrinkles at them.
You know what I would really like to do? I would like to have a conference call with Bill O'Brien, you, and Sho. I'm talking about Steve and Sho, and really teach him something, because I think he might learn something from you guys.
Oh, I think he's a pretty smart guy. It's just, I mean, I'm not going to say that I know more than Bill O'Brien does, but you know, that's one of the things that he hasn't been very great at up to this point, and that's his in-game adjustments. Of course, I don't sit in his chair, so I'm not going to cast too much judgment on him.
Yeah,
so
I'll go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to add, we're talking about Bill O'Brien. Do you think the Patriots offense, and I'm including our former coordinator, Josh McDaniels, do you think the Patriots offense has never been the same since Charlie Weiss has left?
I definitely do. In fact, I'll make a statement, and I'll make this in a crowded room of NFL types anywhere. Had the Patriots had Charlie Weiss as offensive coordinator against the Giants in the Super Bowl,
the
Patriots go 19-0.
Amen.
The offensive coordinator or the person calling the plays for the Patriots in the Super Bowl did not do a damn adjustment until midway in the fourth quarter. You see what happened to Patriots. All of a sudden, a miracle happens, and they started moving the ball a little bit. The Giants' pass rush was not getting to Brady as much. Charlie Weiss was the king of making defensive coordinators adjust to what he was doing instead of adjusting to what they're doing. Anytime you can keep somebody on their heels and make them adjust to you, and the minute they adjust to you, as what they say in a test, as soon as you have the answers, I'll change the questions, he changes things. So he kept them on their heels. You look at the Patriots' last drive in that Super Bowl. That's something that I will never forget.
Yeah. Hey, Sho, I don't mean to cut you off, but we have less than 60 seconds left in the show. I want everyone to give me a prediction. I'll go with you first, Sho. Quick.
Okay. I will say the Patriots will beat the Cowboys 30-27.
Damien?
I'm saying 38-31.
And Steve?
I went online the other day and put my comment in, 31-28. Romo makes a late mistake. Patriots hold on.
Steve, why do I think that that yours is going to be the one that's going to be right?
I hope so.
I predicted 34-24 Patriots, big fourth quarter. That's the way I'm looking at it. Listen, I want to thank all of you for joining me. Show, call in anytime. You were wonderful.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. And that is the end of our show. Please do join us again for another edition. Thank you.